It is that time of year again. Snow is on the mountains, Christmas music on the radio 24/7. Christmas lights and trees are going up, like our amazing 22-foot tree that will be lit tonight. Please join us with Santa. We'll be starting at 6:30. Nice. On top of it all, it is the start of the season of Advent. The word Advent means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event, which seems pretty poignant since we are waiting on the arrival of the birth of Jesus. It is a holy season that marks a period of expected waiting and preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And oh my gosh, do I love everything that is Advent and Christmas. That is another reason why Brad and I get along so well. We just spend hours in the office going like this. And just look at the sanctuary. Check out this decorating job. Thank you to everyone that came and helped with the hanging of the greens last Sunday. I do see hope, peace, love, and joy in this place. The liturgical color is blue, which actually signifies hope. And the Advent candles there represent a journey. A journey each week bringing us closer and closer to Bethlehem. Today being the first Sunday in Advent, the hope candle is lit, and this scripture in Luke chapter 2, verses 18 through 15, helps us to begin our journey to Bethlehem. The Gospel of Luke says, "Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them, and the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said, 'Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and laying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces with the angel praising God, they said, 'Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels returned to heaven and the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what has happened.'" Amen. Now, some of you may be thinking, geez, Ashley, you're jumping ahead a little bit. We still have like 3 weeks before Jesus is born. But I chose this scripture because of the hope the shepherds had when hearing from the angels. And with the story of the shepherd and the lighting of the candle, we have begun our journey, venturing forward with those shepherds towards the town of Bethlehem. The message of the candle being lit, the message on the hearts and lips of the angels and shepherds, and the message we should be focused on is the message of great hope. Let's talk about hope for a moment. When do we need hope? When do we have hope? And when do we search out hope? Do we search out hope when we find ourselves in a space where everything seems well and good? Not usually. We tend to search for it when we're in this liminal space, this space where we don't know what is going to happen. The shepherds and a lot of the people during this time were also in that liminal space. I mean, let's think about it. These shepherds get a call from the angels telling them, "Hey, all, strap on your sandals and scurry towards Bethlehem. There you'll find a baby." Their great hope. But the angels didn't give them much else, but the hope that things would be better for them. Now that is the true meaning of stepping out on hope and prayer. Hope is a term that can be easily thrown around, like, "I hope the weather's clear tomorrow," or "I hope we have a white Christmas," or "I hope the Vikings win," or maybe the Broncos. But that is not the kind of hope that is represented by the lone candle burning brightly this Sunday. The hope represented by that candle is a much greater, much grander hope. It represents the hope of an entire nation. It represents the hope of an entire world. It represents something that you and I often take for granted. You know, we hear the Christmas story told every year, but we forget what it was like that very first Christmas, what it was like before Jesus was born. Imagine yourself in the shoes, or in this case, the sandals, of the shepherds, and think about what it was like to be a shepherd. Working the long hours, being marginalized, and then the angels came to them, the shepherds. And these shepherds tending their sheep and spoke to them, and the angels spoke to them and told them of this great news. There was hope. The angels gave shepherds hope in that message about a baby in a manger. Our sermon series this Advent season is Grant Us Peace. And hope and peace go together quite nicely. Think of a time when you had hope in something and then the peace that came with that hope. I can remember not so long ago when I started my journey towards answering my call to be a pastor and having hope that I would find a congregation that accepted me. And the peace that I found when I found Highlands United Methodist Church. Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years beforehand that Jesus would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Sometimes we hear this gospel message and still wonder, where is the peace in the world and in our lives that Jesus is supposed to bring? If you spend any time online at all, you'll see articles written to grab our attention. The titles are on conflict, stress, pressures of the holiday season, how to get everything done by working smarter, not harder, how to get along with relatives at a once-a-year holiday dinner, how to buy presents that people won't want to exchange. People are still seeking peace, but it seems to elude them. Heck, I'm sure we can put ourselves in this group. I know I can at times. We are not exempt from the many stresses that seem to have a way of robbing us of peace. In spite of our good intentions, it disappears. Something agitates us. It could be traffic on the way to work, crowds and waiting in line at the mall, being put on hold, or a telemarketer calling you over and over and over again. It could be family members who don't see eye to eye, and we are disappointed with ourselves when peace does not seem to be a part of that perfect Kodak moment. Things should be different, we say. The angels praised God in our gospel today, saying, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Let's look at the Hebrew Bible and see what it says about hope. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16, it says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And that is what he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." Jeremiah wrote, "The throne will never be empty, and the debt will forever be paid upon the coming of the Lord." And it is this hope that the shepherd has in his heart the night that the angels appeared to him and gave him a message of hope and joy. The Savior has been born. No more, "He's coming soon," but much rather, "He is here." Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the hope and anticipation, the eagerness to run to Bethlehem to see the Lord? The shepherds were overflowing with hope because of what it meant for them, because what it means for all of us. It's like this. Years ago, there was a wealthy man and his young son, and they both shared a passion for art collecting. Together, they traveled the world, adding only the finest art treasures to the collection. Priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, and many others adorned the walls of their family estate. The widowed father looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. But the day came when war engulfed the nation and the young man left to serve his country. And after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that his beloved son had been killed while carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. On Christmas morning, a knock came at the door of the old man's home, and as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son. Actually, I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." "I'm an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. Though the art critics would never consider this work a piece of genius, the painting did feature the young man's face in striking detail and captured his personality. The following spring, Old Man became ill and passed away. The art world was in anticipation. According to the will of the Old Man, all of the artworks would be auctioned. The day soon arrived, and the art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not on any museum list. It was the picture of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, and the room went silent. "Who will open the bid with just $100? He asked. Minutes passed, not a sound from those who came to buy. From the back of the room, someone callously called out, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of the sun. Let's forget about it and go on to the important paintings." There were other voices which echoed in agreement, but the auctioneer replied, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the sun?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke. "I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. I will bid the $100. "I have a bid for $100, called the auctioneer. "Will anyone go higher?" After a long silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, gone." The gavel fell, cheers filled the room. Someone was heard to say, "Now we can get on with it." But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room when someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here to buy a picture of some old guy's son. What about all of these paintings? Millions and dollars worth of paintings. We demand that you explain what is going on." And the auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." That is the essence of Christmas. Whoever takes the son gets it all. The scripture says this: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The one who has the Son has it all. But exactly what is included in the all? There are several things, and I would like to suggest the first thing is that Advent promises new life in Christ, because it means we now have an idea of what God is like. The coming of Christ gave us a living picture of who God is. Christ's coming put a face on God. And the Bible says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. So we begin our journey to Bethlehem. Let us remember that this hope as ones who do not take it for granted. Let us remember it was like before Jesus came. Let us look to the baby in a manger through the eyes of the shepherd gazing on their Lord for the first time, fully understanding what a huge fulfillment of hope the baby represented. Let us look forward to Christmas with that same hope in our hearts, knowing what a joyous and hope-filled thing it is to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our Christ, our Savior, and our Lord who awaits us in Bethlehem. And it is him that we will journey these coming weeks, getting closer and closer to Christmas. May your hearts be filled with the great hope of expectation this Advent season. Amen.